Ladies and gents, hello. Hello and welcome. This is Charlie Tate. Welcome to Tater Thoughts. I know. It's been a month since I did an episode, and that was not intentional. Not at all. I did not say to myself last time I did an episode, I'm going to wait 4 weeks. But bronchitis. Oh, yeah. Stomach flu. Oh, yeah. I was a bit beat on the last few weeks and out of commission. So, apologies. I had to abandon you for a bit there, but I am back now and I've got my water handy. So that's good because today we are talking about a topic that is quite, I think there's going to be a lot of elaboration here. I have a ton of notes and I wish I had more because honestly, there are specific things I'd like to mention that I don't have in front of me, but I'm going to do the best I can with what I have. And it's a pretty serious topic today. It's a pretty big topic today, and everybody's talking about it. And when I initially thought about doing this episode, it wasn't even as big a deal as it is now. But now is the time because regulations, concerns, invigoration, creativity, everything is exploding right now around this thing. And I think some believe this might be a fad. But like things before it that have gone on to change the world, social media, the cell phone, the internet, TV, the telephone, cars, you know, I'm going backwards. I'm trying to go backwards chronologically there. These are all things that were perhaps perceived as novel and then became a part of our society, became a part of culture, became a part of our lives. Every single one of those things I've mentioned has permeated society and the communities that we live in all around the world, even in some of the most desolate, isolated parts of the world, people are at least aware of these technologies. Even if they're not using them or they don't have access to them, they're aware of them. And today, I am talking about one such technology that is all crazy right now. It's crazy. And that is artificial intelligence. AI. Everybody's talking about AI, including the government. And I have so many notes about it and so many thoughts about it because this is a little bit like when I was younger and the internet was in its infancy. To give you context, my dad was a tech sergeant in the military. So there's a lot of tech savvy, I think, just genetically in my family. So we've always been curious about technology. I was one of the first kids I knew that had a computer at home and was able to type my assignments. I was one of the first kids I knew that would bring those printed assignments in with my homework. I was always looking at these things and curious about them from a very young age. Our computer was so old that it literally had a lock, a physical lock on the drive, so you couldn't put disks in there. I still remember that very well, that there were rare instances where if my mom wanted me to focus on something other than playing that favorite game I had, she would lock the drive, and I was literally shut out. Of course, nowadays there are digital ways to put locks on things, but back then it was all about the key, the physical key. I am the key master. Sorry. All right, so back to the topic at hand, the big one, artificial intelligence. I feel a lot about it the way I felt about it 20 plus years ago when the internet was beginning to explode. I don't even know if technically by some definitions I'm a millennial. I don't feel like that at all. I don't even feel like a Gen Xer. I feel like I'm completely out of time and in a really weird space. I've always considered myself in that gray area because I grew up at a time where analog was still very much a thing. And then as I was a teenager and getting toward the end of my school days there, the digital world was starting to burst forward and it was coming to the forefront. And at that time when the internet was exploding, I had a very distinctive moment of fear that carried me through that at the same time, that curiosity, because I've always loved technology. I love the evolution of it. I'm in awe of the people who create these things. I think that there's many of these things we get to experience. They're marvels, you know, they're quite amazing. I'm not criticizing the development of technology and the evolution of it. But what I am saying is that from a very personal, deep level, I have concerns about it, and I always have. The internet was very much like that. I remember thinking, this is amazing, this is incredible, this is life-changing, this is... I still remember when I couldn't find information about things on the internet because it was so new. And I had this fear about it. Because guess what? I knew what this meant. I knew what it meant. I knew it was powerful. I knew that there would be people that would manipulate it and take advantage of it. I remember doing an article about the internet, and I was in the library at school, and I was reading about how it all started. And I remember this very vivid memory of sitting there and reading about the government and how the internet was started and what the original intentions were. And of course, like many things that begin as this practical development of optimizing a process, things evolve and trickle out to the rest of the world. They're not for just the elite or the exclusive crowd. They end up being available to virtually anyone. And it is startling how much of a wave that creates. And I think even as a youngster, I was very aware of that. I thought, wow, this is amazing, but this is also incredibly terrifying. I had a conversation about that with a classmate of mine. I was sitting there in English class. I think this was senior year. And I was sitting there, we were talking about the internet. And I remember looking at him and going, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. I remember saying almost those exact words to him, and it was an interesting conversation before class started. We were talking about the internet, and I've never forgotten that feeling, and it stays with me. So as we talk about artificial intelligence today, just keep that in mind, that I am in very much the same mental and emotional place I was as with the internet. I feel the same way about it. It's amazing and incredible and opens so many doors, but it's also this thing that needs to be monitored and needs to be considered. And there's, in the time that I wanted to do this episode, since I started planning this episode weeks ago, in the weeks that have followed, a lot has happened. First of all, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of AI platforms. And this is where I wish I had all the names of them, because I had a list somewhere and I can't find it, that had specific platforms for different purposes. For more than just generating text content, video, voice, audio, text to speech, text to video, legal, meeting transcriptions and insights, dictation, productivity, AI tools, coding. Ooh, yikes. Can you guys imagine? Imagine. And yes, some of these things are not new. Some of these things, the ability to voice AI, for example, is not really a very new thing. We've had voice dictation programs out there for quite some time. There have been technologies in existence. I think just ChatGPT kind of thrust this all into the forefront, and all of a sudden, everybody is developing new tools and enhancing the tools that do exist. But you get the picture. There is an AI tool for virtually, pun intended, everything right now, everything. And I want to kind of recap just some of those things that have happened. So it's not just the rollout of new AI platforms and advanced and enhanced ones, but a lot of this started, a lot of the talk about the legal ramifications of AI and what should probably be considered started because of weeks ago, or was it months ago now, that Drake and the Weeknd song that was AI generated. Okay, you can look it up, not the song itself, which I believe has been removed, but you can look up what happened if you're not familiar with that story. But it was a pretty big deal. It caused this big firestorm of PR damage control and the artist crying foul, of course, as they should. If it was me, I would be up in arms about this. Okay, Spotify has been removing tens of thousands of AI songs. After this happened, they took a big look at this and said, okay, is this even right, what we're doing? You could even argue that filters are a form of AI. And yes, I'm moving away from the music and Spotify element here, but filters on social media are some form of AI, of course. When you make yourself look different, or perhaps you think it's better in your eyes, you make yourself look like a different person, you put on some kind of makeup, you change your hair. You could argue that that is a form of artificial intelligence as well. And now, of course, there are political discussions around responsible AI and regulated AI in Congress. The National Institute of Standards and Technology in January rolled out a framework to assess the risks and prevent harms in AI design and deployment. And the Federal Trade Commission chair has promised to prevent AI abuses. Now, this may be all for naught. The genie's out the bottle. That I feel like regulation is probably, honestly, 5 to 10 years behind the technology itself. This is not uncommon. And there are ways you can regulate this. But how do you do it? How do you do it? And how do you take the steps to preserve copyright and integrity? And I'm going to get into artistic and creative integrity, but I'm talking about in general, just integrity on the human level, as far as creators and what we do in processes and how we work. How do you retain that integrity? I was so intrigued by the internet and awed by it when I was young. And it terrified me. And I feel that way about all this right now. It's moving at light speed, warp speed, if you're a sci-fi fan. It is flying forward so quickly, we cannot keep up. And part of this is the brilliance of it. As I said, I don't want to completely knock it, despite my concerns about it. You guys, there are amazing things happening in artificial intelligence. I have used a few of these different tools myself. You can do all kinds of things in just one platform. In ChatGPT, there's another one I've been playing around with. I'm so terrible with names. I should have written it down. You can generate schedules for publishing content online. You can ask it to give you a plan, a strategy, a complete strategy to do something online, to do something for your business. You can refine what you write, of course. That's just the tip of the iceberg. But to use these tools as productivity tools, as planning tools, as strategy tools, as marketing tools, there are so many opportunities out there to refine what you're doing and save time. Absolutely. And I would advocate for that, especially if you are busy, busy, busy. There's no better opportunity right now than to start learning these tools. Even if you're afraid of them, even if you're terrified, even if you're concerned, having knowledge about what is available out there right now is of all importance, because this is going to change the way we do things, and it already has. It's going to change the way we work. It's going to change the way we find jobs. It's going to change the way that we communicate with each other. So to be knowledgeable about it and understand it, at the very least, is what you should be doing. Now, I'm hungry for knowledge. I'm hungry for new stuff. I always say, do not call me a guru, because I am always learning something new. I really mean that. I'm not saying that to put up this false, you know, this false look of humility, because I don't feel like I know everything. I never do. I feel like I'm always on the cusp of being great with something. You know, there are very few things that I am extremely confident in doing. I make a really good baked potato. I make a pretty good cup of coffee, but those are simple things. You know, to me, those aren't things that are really big and complex and involved. But because I'm always trying to understand what's new, I'm trying to push myself. And I do the same thing with technology and developments and understanding those things. I'm going to take a sip of water right now. Okay. So all of that general artificial intelligence talk aside, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty too much about regulations and privacy, because there's so much more you can read and learn about it. I want to talk about the music portion of this. Okay, let's go back to like what happened with Drake and the Weeknd song that was AI generated and Spotify removing all these songs. So as part of that discussion and that concern, Universal Music Group asked, or was it they demanded, that Spotify and other streaming services block or ban AI-generated content. I think this is part of why Spotify is removing so much content. Because of that creative innovation and protecting artist integrity. Where do you draw the line? Because there's opportunity with AI. Okay, we just talked about the opportunity to be more productive and to create faster and to refine things and streamline things. So AI, of course, allows people who don't play or perform to make music. And that, of course, equals more revenue for all of these services that stream or sell. But copyright, how do you enforce copyright? If material is made artificially using a distinct artist's likeness, what do you do? Isn't it copyright abuse to do that, to create something that is not yours? You're literally asking a technology to create something that is using another person's likeness. Isn't that abuse of some kind? This is where all those questions come in about regulations. Now, let's take a step back when it comes to artificial intelligence and the music process, using it to refine the mixing and mastering processes. This is not a new thing. So in a way, it's been around for quite some time, and it's not all bad. I want to elaborate about some of the ways I have used artificial intelligence in my music creation process. And most people do these days. Plugins, everything is digital. You can put a plugin on a sound and tweak it so it makes it sound hollow or full. You can change the tone of a pitch without actually changing the pitch. You can stare at the pitch of a note on a line and visually drag it so it's higher or lower. That is a form of artificial intelligence. You are using computer, and you are using, I was going to say algorithms. You're using programming to change things. When you put a plugin on a track in a song and you tell it, I want it to sound like this, or I want it to have an echo like it's in a big concert hall, that is a form of artificial intelligence to a certain degree. I don't know how many people have thought about just how far back this goes, because as long as I've been using music software, this kind of stuff, as crude as it used to be, and now it's very refined, it's been available for a very long time. Now, back when people first started to edit songs in this way and clip them literally on the tape, this was not something you could do digitally. That was all done by hand. It was manual. It wasn't, you couldn't say, oh, well, that's artificial intelligence. Everything was done acoustically. It was done analog. It was not something that was done digitally. So a lot has been happening in the world of music for quite some time. And I have used, although I avoid it now because I don't like the way it sounds, but I have used software that quote unquote masters, puts a final touch on a song. You could literally tell it, and I think the software was called Lander, L-A-N-D-R. I used it in the past. You could tell it at the time, and I'm sure it's expanded now, but you could tell it at the time how you wanted the song to sound. Did you want it to sound brighter and more poppy? Do you want it to sound more full? And ultimately, do you want it to sound more subdued and mellow? I think those were pretty much the three options you had. And depending on what you picked, your song came out sounding just a little different from one version to the next. It was a form of music AI. And I was using it for a time because it was, first of all, it was interesting and I was experimenting, but it also saved me time because let's face it, if you're not a professional audio engineer, and I'm not, I learn by doing, I learn by watching, I learn by experimenting, trial and error. And I love it, but it's very tedious for me because I'm not trained. So I was cutting a corner and I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to mix it as best I can. And then I'm going to master it through this program Lander. And guess what? It worked, but it wasn't what I wanted, but it was exciting and it was different and it was fairly new. And I thought, I'm going to try this. That is a form. It is certainly a form of AI. And while it made the process easier for me, looking back, I'm not that impressed with the final result. And that's why I don't do that anymore. My last album I did, I completely avoided any kind of automated mastering like that because I wanted to do it all myself. And it was difficult and it was hard, but it was worth every second of doing that because artistic integrity, that's very important to me. And I think it's very important to many. That personal human touch, the human touch. You lose that. Okay, let's talk about what AI does in general, how it works. So if you guys have played around with it at all, you know, and there's been some amazing things my colleagues have done, generating graphic AI of houses at, you know, the Grand Canyon, where you would never have a house on the edge of the cliff of the Grand Canyon, that sort of thing. The way it looks, you can tell it you want a sunset. You can tell it you want certain foliage around the house. You can do all kinds of things. And it will generate image variations that are so realistic and amazing. And it's the same thing with the song, the AI songs, right? And the text that's generated. AI is pulling data from a massive database that is out there for everyone, right? It's everywhere. Data is everywhere. And that is how it works. It is pulling information from the database to create what you ask for, but it cannot make something brand new. Yes, it can take everything and combine it to create something that looks unique, like the house on the Grand Canyon, but we can imagine that too. We're telling it. That's what I'm saying is it's not creating something we can't think of. It's simply giving us something that we want because we either don't have the ability to do it ourselves, or it literally is not something that exists in real life, but we can certainly imagine it. So AI is still limited. Yes, it can enhance things. It can make your life easier, but it's still limited. It's not going to create something it doesn't have the ability to pull from a database. That's the bottom line. And this might sound ridiculous and cheesy, but this is my mantra, and I want you to take it to heart if you're at all concerned about AI and the state of the world. AI doesn't have a soul, period. And it never will. We do not have the power to bestow that essence of being and existing onto or into anything. That is not our job. That is not something we can do. AI will always be limited by the data it uses to create what it creates. It cannot imagine something new unless the ideas are presented to it in that combination as a prompt. Yes, if you can't imagine it and tell it to create it, it can and it will, but it's still working with elements it knows and can compute and can create. Truthfully, it makes me sad that the art of actually playing and performing as a musician or a singer is getting lost. But I suppose the ability to do so much with AI does make that real innate talent all the more special, I think, and maybe in a way, rare. So when you see people who play an instrument or sing or do something amazing and they're doing it all on their own, it's still to me a miraculous thing. And this goes beyond just the artistic expression. This goes into people that, let's go back to the people who have made this all possible. The people who built those systems, the people who engineered those systems, the people who made these computers. Those are the people that you really have to thank for AI. If you're extremely grateful for it, which if you've used it to make your job easier, hey, you understand what I'm talking about. These are amazing systems. And yes, they can be abused. Yes, they can be tampered with. But that's the case with everything. Social media is the same way. Social media has changed everything. We could go into TikTok right now. That's a whole other conversation. I believe that this potential massive ban on TikTok, of course, as of this moment, it has been approved in Montana. We'll see if that actually comes to pass. I believe that this, of course, is going to empower other places to take the same steps. It's going to empower people to look at everything with a magnifying glass even more. And I think that's not necessarily a bad thing because we have ourselves to protect. Our kids, our societies, our communities. It is possible to use these technologies, whether it's social media, AI, beyond, to abuse and to hurt and to harm. We've seen it done since the dawn of time, since the wheel, okay? There's always that possibility, that potential for something to be used in a really negative, destructive way. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I want you to remember that AI will never have a soul. And you might be thinking, oh, Charlie, well, Skynet. What about Skynet? The self-awareness of AI. It's still, first of all, that's a fantasy, okay? That is technically still, it's a fantasy. Now, is it possible for a machine to compute and make a decision based on its calculations? Yes, I'm sure that could happen. But the ability for a machine or technology to be given this awareness, this ability to feel. Machines cannot feel. They can tell you they feel. But again, it's still a calculation. It's data. It's things happening in the background that you cannot possibly comprehend because most of us are not programmers. You know, we're not coders. We're not those people building those systems. And that's the kind of thing we have to look at, is the people regulating those systems, maintaining those systems. I think those are the people we need to keep a close eye on what they're doing. Yes, but the ability to do things with artificial intelligence is only going to grow. And hopefully, if we're smart about it, can amplify in a way that is encouraging and helpful and not destructive. But rest assured, if you are worried or concerned, whether it's about your safety, your job, yourself, your health, your kids, AI will never have a soul. It can't. And that reminds, I know some of you are probably thinking, well, what about IVF, Charlie, when we literally engineer ourselves a pregnancy? Guess what? There's stuff going on in the background there that is still miraculous, that we still cannot ever understand. And I don't think we ever will. I don't think we're supposed to. There is still something that happens as part of that process, even if we initiate it. And if you want to get really technical, we do initiate it. When we fall in love with someone, when we're with someone, we initiate that process. But what actually happens when that process begins, when that life begins, is something out of our hands, is something beyond our imagination and our ability to do ourselves. That's what makes it so different than everything else. And I'm going to get off that track there, but that's important to remember and remind yourself of if you're at all concerned about artificial intelligence. And I will certainly be keeping a close eye on this as it develops, because every single day there's something new coming along, and I urge you to explore it. I really, really want you to understand its benefits and its shortcomings. And experiment with it. When you have that moment to breathe, when you have that moment to relax, when you have that moment to just chill out for a second and you're in a really good headspace, just go to one of those platforms. Check it out. Understand how it works. Understand how it can benefit you and the flaws it may have. And if you have suggestions about it, and if that app or that technology has a place where you can contact someone, do it. If you have an idea about something, let them know. If you come across something that's concerning, let them know. A lot of people have talked about, well, what about replication of content, as far as, especially with written content? There was this big concern. One of the first questions asked was, well, if everybody starts using this, what are the odds that someone is going to share something that's exactly like someone else's content? Well, you could argue that could be the case even before everybody was starting to use ChatGPT and its similar technologies. There's always been that possibility that someone could create something very much like what you've created. But that's one of the things that people are looking at as well, is these technologies, and how do you prevent, how do you consider copyright, number one, and how do you prevent that replicated content that is identical to someone else's? For me personally, being genuine keeping it real is a very important thing. And I'm not just talking about artistic creations. I'm not just talking about music, although that is always at the forefront of my mind. I'm talking about everything and how you exist as a person. I'm talking about you being you and everything that you do being genuine. I went through this whole long list just at the beginning of this episode here about things that you could consider artificial intelligence and have existed for quite some time. It's just, we haven't thought about them at large because up until very, very recently, within the last 6-9 months here, it was just part of life. And now there's this big surge of development and we're all staring at it. And some of us are invigorated and encouraged. Some of us are terrified. Some of us are sitting right there in the middle and we feel a little bit of all of it. And we're intrigued and we're curious cats. But we're cautious, cautiously curious. How's that? All right, guys. I wish I'd written down some of those. You know what? Right now, hold on a second. I am going to pull up a list. Intelligent applications from Microsoft. Best AI tools. Tech Radar. Oh, this is a pretty recent article. Let's see what they say. Best AI tools. Okay, come on, guys. TensorFlow. Machine learning. Best AI voice generators. PlayHT. Text to speech. Oh, Synthesia. I've read about that one. That's a text-to-speech. Amazon Polly, cloud-based text-to-speech. Oh, I'm going through different categories. Wow, this is a really long article. You guys, this is insane. Just how many platforms there are. Oh, best AI music generators, get out. Get out right now. SoundRaw. HumTap. Ooh. Mellow Drive, Jukebox. I think I've heard about some of these boomy, funny names here. But you guys, you get the picture. There's many. There's so many. And I'm not saying you have to know all of them because it's like social media. You can't possibly keep up. You can't possibly be everywhere. But whatever's relevant to you, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're in business, you're a creative, go out there and see what there is. Please, please, please understand what you're dealing with. What can work for you and what you're up against. It's always been a good idea to be aware of your competition, so to speak, especially if you're in the business world. And I think understanding what's out there that people are using is of all importance because you need to be aware. Awareness is important. Keep it real. That's all I'm saying. All right, guys. Explore. Don't be afraid. Just put it out there. Put yourself out there and learn. Keep learning. And I'll be back next time. And I promise it's not going to be another 4-week stint. I will be back. I'm working on my next Queen deep dive. Maybe I'll do a random deep dive, you guys. Should I do a song that's brand new? Usually I do songs that are really old in my catalog that I love, that have been in my library for years, if not decades. And I like to highlight those songs because they're older and they're classics. But maybe I should do something that's new. I was thinking about talking about some new artists recently. So that might be on my list as well. But long story short, I'll be back before another month goes by. Have yourselves a fantastic day, starry night. Look up whenever you can. Enjoy it. I'll be back next time. Keep yourselves alive. And have fun, whatever you do. Keep learning, laughing, have fun, and enjoy.